My name is Simon Killeen. I live in Wiltshire, and I used to be a Wiltshire Unity Council and hold a fairly senior position in scrutiny in Wiltshire Council. I saw the Russell Brand story. I know that Russell Brand, I've seen him and so on, and it just resonated with me straight away that something wasn't quite right about what was being portrayed about his these activities. And also I experienced a much, much worse situation in Russell Brand. Multiple accusations and so on of misconduct of the Royal Force when I was a councillor.
Can you give us a little bit of a reminder about your own experience before we talk about Brand? I mean, what accusations were made against you? Because, you know, you would have thought that if anything wrong has been done, the first place you approach generally is the police. And in Russell's case, this is a very long time ago, and the police apparently weren't approached, instead just come out in the media. So what were you accused of, and how, which routes did the people accusing you take?
Can I just first say to you, me talking about this to you is not about me and me inventing my experience. What I want to do is explain to you what is actually happening. You don't have to believe or not believe Russell Brand. You don't even have to care about Russell Brand. Because, so what happened to me was an orchestrated campaign to destroy my reputation because, as an independent elected representative, I upset a small group of people who had a lot of power and a lot of control and were making decisions about major financial decisions in the local area. So I ended up basically, I often say, accidentally coming across a drug dealer's stash. And because of that, a whole kind of mechanistic process of character assassination was created. And very simply, examples of, I was accused of sexually assaulting somebody. I was accused of attacking a woman in the street. I was accused of attacking a small child. I was accused of driving my car inappropriately and nearly killing a woman's child in her buggy. I was accused of driving my car down the wrong end of high street. There were multiple hate campaigns calling me out as an Irish traveller, gypsy, threats of violence, threats of murder, all sorts of things. And it was totally orchestrated.
Simon, I think I remember there was also even graffiti in your local town.
Yeah, graffiti. And this is where there's a mechanistic process going on here. And I can see it with Russell Brand. If Russell Brand did or didn't do these things, the first thing you think is, if I was a victim, why would I go to a newspaper and tell them a whole pile of intimate details about things somebody had done to me many years ago? The first thing you do would be go to the police. Right. The second thing is that the people who are making these reports, if found out, for them, the whole process of explaining the horrible sexual assaults and so on, for them is also a really difficult thing. They need to have some sort of privacy. His wife, his children, like he has one or two children, the kind of scrutiny, the kind of pressure on them, forget about him, but on them is going to be immense. And the way these things are done is to basically destroy his character, destroy his reputation, make the public believe from the way they create the narrative that he's guilty before any kind of proper judicial process. But also to turn his wife against him, to make the life of his wife and their children almost impossible. So that what will happen is he will withdraw from public life. He would just withdraw and say, and this is exactly what happened to me. In the end, I had to leave. I had to come out of public life because it became such a burden on me and my family, my children. My wife had a terrible time. I would say nearly had a nervous breakdown over it. I was pretty strong. I was able to go, I know what's going on here. But for me, in the end, it was unsustainable. I had to leave public life because of it.
What would you say, though, to those that saw the Russell Brand dispatches program at the weekend? And, I mean, these are quite serious allegations that are being made against him, including rape.
Well, this is the thing, you know. I have never been a cool actor stud going around sort of chatting up women and flirting and getting drunk and taking drugs. None of that. I was an upstanding, totally very conservative guy, and I had all sorts of accusations made against me. right? And what was most astonishing what his accusations were was that when I actually spoke to a senior person in the police who was doing an independent investigation to see if his allegations were true or false, he literally stopped recording a conversation with me and said, "You're being set up." And then went to explain all sorts of horror stories that he knew of that had been done to other politicians. You know, a mayoress in a town who got involved in some planning situation, some stuff was put into her bag to make it look like she was a thief. He said to me, she was so upset when he interviewed her that she cried for an hour. So he also, what was astonishing was I was accused of sexually assaulting a woman in Trowbridge. Right? That I had done something inappropriate. I said to this guy, this police officer who was interviewing me, I said, I wasn't even in Trowbridge. I said, I wasn't even there. He said, can you prove it? I said, yes, of course I can. He said to me, do you know, he said, that woman may actually believe it was you. And I said, why? He said, because I have known cases where they have got somebody to dress up like the person, go in, make an assault, and that the person who's the victim thinks it was me. And I was astonished.
What you're describing is obviously a very well-organized operation, really. Who might be conducting that?
Oh, it's pretty obvious. So I knew who was. So for starters, at one stage, I came home from work and I had to think about 20 to 30 answer phone messages and phone calls on my phone from people in my community who I was highly respected by. I was a very popular guy, popular politician, people liked me. Go down the street, people would say, hello, Simon, how are you? And so forth and so on. I'm getting a barrage of people saying, I'll never vote for you again, you're a disgrace. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? A PR company has put out 5,000 leaflets around the town in my name, making all sorts of false claims that upset people in the town. When we found the courier who was putting them out and he told me about the PR company, I rang the PR company. And when I spoke to the leading person at PR company, I said to her, you have put out false leaflets about me around this town and I'm going to out you to the media. And her response was, we have a team of lawyers and they will destroy you. Don't even try it. So who was paying a PR company to try and destroy my reputation? Well, it's obvious. It was vested interest to politically and financially had a whole lot of stakes in planning and building and development. Millions, I worked out something like, must have been anything between 20 and 30 million pounds worth of potential land deals and financial changes. Because I was involved in this neighborhood planning process. It was a new thing for government. They were trying to give communities more of a say. And I was unwittingly involved in a process that could have inspired a complete transformational planning system. Prince Charles was helping. He gave us £30,000. We had all sorts of consultants of good people in the town helping us out. And so what happened is I really upset a bunch of people who had invested interest in planning and development, who had a complete phony process of consultation with community and so on, but basically had all it worked out, where housing was going to go, what was going to get built, what was not going to get built. I upset it all. And because I upset it all, they kind of used a multiple stage process to basically destroy me. The first thing they did was they tried to get me to meet with them. Big developers, meet with us, talk to us. How can we help you? I was offered the opportunity to join Freemasons. I basically was told I can be part of this circle of people. Come in and join. Be one of us. I refused. Oh, can we get involved in helping you make the decision about development? No, you can't. It's a community-led process. Second stage, then sort of all sorts of discrediting starts going on. Even simple things like a woman ringing and leaving messages on my phone in my home for my wife to hear, saying, hi, Simon, I'm naked, where are you now? Again, trying to sow the seeds that I was being unfaithful and I was up to no good. Multiple things that in the end basically resulted in me just having to leave my position as a counselor. And also, most of the people in the town basically fell for the whole lot. This is the problem. The people who are being duped here now are the public. When you see a situation like that, you say, well, hang on. Wouldn't it be logical for the newspaper to do their investigation, discover that Russell Brand has got some really unsavory stuff going on, protect the victims, and then go to the police and say, we as a newspaper organization have reason to believe that Mr. Russell Brand is in the public domain, has got done something incorrect. We want to protect the victims. Here's our evidence. When the police then go and arrest him, whatever, take him, get him, he goes to court and he's found guilty. The newspaper have got first shot at going, we were involved in this investigation, we told the police, and he's guilty. That's perfectly fine. But what's happening here is that organizations who have got no credibility, newspapers have pride, they depend on advertising, they've got financial invested interests, especially now where you see their legacy media is being challenged by the internet. Legacy media is very controlled by special interests, political interests. They're all biased towards political interests. So here you have people acting like courts, putting out very well-crafted stories, which are highly PR'd. I look at the pictures in the newspapers, the pictures of him with women and this and that and the other thing, that will very easily convince the ordinary guy in the street who's worried about just paying his bills and doesn't trust politicians and so on and so forth, doesn't trust people like Brand because he sees he's a bit of a womanizer. Very quickly, they will convince the masses.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, you're describing this hatchet job done by Channel 4, at least you're describing it as a hatchet job. This all takes place as the character is being assassinated. What happened to you, because this happened to you whilst all these complaints were going through the various processes, like you driving on the wrong side of the road and things like that. Eventually, of course, those complaints run through. And I wonder if there was as much reporting at the end of those complaints when that had happened as during.
None. And what's really interesting, I was a politician for 8 years. It was only when the planning process, the referendum and the planning process we had to change all of the sites for the town, which was millions of pounds worth of change of site locations. It was only when that process started to become close to being possibly referendum in reality, that the hate campaign started. And when I resigned, when I decided not to stand again to be a politician, it completely stopped. There was nothing. In other words, I can tell you, when Russell Brand tomorrow morning goes out there and quits the whole of social media and says, I'm done, and hides, none of those people will care about whether he's taken it to justice or not. Because their aim is not to get justice and help those women. Their aim is to use people for whatever reasons they have a bone to pick. Yes, he may have been inappropriately done things. I'm not saying he hasn't. But they will use those people. They don't care about those people either. They will use those people to basically try and knock him down. Once they knock him down, they don't care whether justice is done. They have no interest. With me, not a single newspaper could give a monkeys about whether I was found guilty or innocent. Nobody, if I stood in front of the courthouse, there was no one there.
Were you found guilty on those charges?
None of them. Not one of them. And that's the most interesting thing. And what should have happened is there should have been outrage. They should be outraged that me and my family were targeted in such a way. But this is what's even more astonishing. This is why I want to basically just out this. The police, who I had trusted and respected and thought they were great citizens, the police were no help. In fact, the police were also a hindrance. I literally sat down with a police officer and told the police officer what was happening, gave him the evidence, showed him all sorts of stuff that was going on. Hate stuff, hate speech, racist attacks on me, all sorts of stuff. The police officer basically said to me, well, if you don't stop doing what you're doing in the town, the hate campaign will start beginning against you. I recorded what the police officer was saying, and he told me, if you use that recording, it's illegal. You have recorded our permission, and you'll be in trouble over it. In the end, I had a situation where my wife was so scared to go down to school because a guy with a shotgun had threatened to basically do some sort of violence. Either it was attack me or shoot me. I can't remember. A guy I didn't even know. A guy with mental health issues. She went to the police, rang the police and said, well, I'm really worried. The police's response was, oh, well, you know, he hasn't got a license for a gun. Yet she could see on social media he was holding a gun. When I went to the police and said to the police, you need to do something with this, they did nothing. In the end, I had to threaten the police with outing them and outing what I had basically the experience I had with them. And then they came back and said, okay, we'll put a barring order on that. And I'm good. That was the police.
It was obvious to you what the motive was in your case. What do you think the motive is with Brand?
Right. I think what's going on in the UK at the moment is very clear. It's like when the printing press was created. The internet is exponentially growing in popularity and people are moving away from legacy media. Legacy media, the ITV, the Times, all these, you know, newspapers, the Sun, the Mirror, they're all highly untrustworthy organizations that are stuck in a dogma. They basically follow political organizations. They've got best interests. I saw it here in my situation in the local media. As soon as I was being attacked, they all started basically attacking all the media organizations, the newspapers started printing articles with unfounded accusations and about me. So the legacy media here is in trouble. It's a small number of organizations that have never ever being truthful, that have never been with the people, that have been totally biased towards political, financial, special interests. Basically been ripping off the public for decades. And so what's happening now is you're seeing these complete different forms. Joe Rogan, you know, is he a reporter? What is he? He's just an ordinary guy, but he's got like 40 million people watching his videos. Suddenly the internet has suddenly taken on this much more straight up, you know, people who have not necessarily any qualifications in the media, just talking, interviewing people for long periods and so on. And a whole lot of truths are coming out, right? You know, Russell Brand interviewed Robert F. Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy is coming out with stuff that's shocking. So I can see that Russell Brand is becoming a real problem. I could see the PR people, the movers and shakers behind the scenes who control legacy media, got loads of financial political interest, who are very, very astute at absolutely bullshitting and brainwashing people and making them believe narratives that suit them. And I can see they've literally put an X in him and gone, he's out, destroy him, take him down. And that's why this is happening. And there's lots of other people, I'm sure, there's lots of other media organizations, independent journalists and so on, that need to be worried about this. Because, and you'll see, for example, we've seen it already with Twitter and Facebook and all, the kind of infiltration which you're now seeing from that side, the political side, to try and control these organizations. Because they're worried about what's coming out. And to me, it's also about free speech. That you can express your views even if somebody doesn't agree with them. But I believe that these elites, these old organizations, these guys that have been in control for decades, probably more than decades, generations, they do not want to lose that control, and they're losing it. And so you're seeing this reaction, and I think you'll see more of it.
Well, one of the first actions taken after this documentary was shown on Saturday was by YouTube demonetizing Russell Brand's channel.
Yes.
So this is quite important, isn't it? This is depriving him of his income there.
Yes, and the thing is that there will be constant hits on him now. You see all these things appearing everywhere. You see, in a normal run-of-the-mill situation, it wouldn't work like this. I can clearly see that something has been switched. There's a switch that's been turned. They've been looking at this guy and going, we've had enough. He's got to go. And you probably heard Joe Rogan had warded off a similar sort of thing not so long ago. There's Max Blumenthal. There's a whole load of other people out there rising. There's lots of independent medias now which are getting a bit confident, who've already had pushbacks from YouTube and so on.
I mean, isn't there a danger, Simon, that this might actually work in reverse, that particularly lots and lots of young people under the age of 30 or so are quite avid watchers of Russell Brand, and this sort of thing they may just see this as, well, this is the legacy media, as you say, just trying to destroy him, because, he's got a lot of support, hasn't he? This is what I'm saying, and this may have actually given him more publicity.
I think that this is the problem. I don't think it's good, like when the printing press was first invented. I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle unless you shut the internet down. You're not going to be able to control. They're trying to control it. They're trying to infiltrate it. You heard about the Twitter files and all, but they can't. And I totally agree. I think that it's going to, people really need to wake up and realize that they're being duped. That's you want to know the truth. You know, Tucker Carlson has made a suggestion. I'm not a fan of Tucker Carlson, but he's gone off and he's doing his own independent thing. Tucker Carlson, I don't know how many views he gets, but it's more than any of the legacy media. Tucker Carlson has suggested he might interview Putin. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what potentially would happen to Tucker Carlson? Because nobody wants to actually allow us, the public, to hear everyone's side of the story, that us as intelligent people come along and decide what we want and decide what we think. They're trying to basically program everything to give us a narrative that we must.
Well, yeah, there's another suggestion with Tucker Carlson, and that is he may chair a debate between Bobby Kennedy and Donald Trump.
Well, wouldn't that be brilliant? Why shouldn't that happen? And just because somebody interviews somebody else doesn't mean that they're taking one side or the other. I would like to hear from an American, somebody who's independent, what the views of these people are, whether it's Trump or it's Putin or it's Biden, have them all in a room and clarify what the situation. I would like to see RFK challenged about his claims about the CIA and what happened to his parents and his relatives. I would like to see that happen. But there's a whole set there's a whole grouping of people who do not want that to happen in the US. What they don't want to happen is for ordinary people to be able to hear the truth. And it's exactly what happened. You've probably heard of a guy called William Tyndale. William Tyndale was the first guy to convert the Bible from Latin to English. What happened to him? He was burnt at the stake, and they made a compromise. They said, we'll strangle you first. And that's what they did. And his Bible became the King James Bible. And it's the Bible today that people have access to. Why? Because they said, we don't want the public being able to read the Bible because they don't know enough. They're not able to basically understand it. It's only experts who can speak Latin that should be allowed to read the Bible. And so you're seeing the same thing happen now. It's exactly the same thing. The internet and this kind of media is giving us all the opportunity to find out much more truthful, open, honest, sort of understandings about what's going on. And those people who have controlled it for decades do not want to let go of it. But they have to let go. They have no choice. The more they fight, like you said, the more they're going to basically cause us as the public to sort of twig. There's something going on here. Why do you think I'm so animated here now? I sit here, listen and see this stuff, and I think, oh my gosh, do people understand what these PR companies, these political forces, these vested are capable of doing? How would you feel if somebody looked you in the eye and said to you, your children could disappear or drown? You need to get out of this stuff. They don't threaten you with killing or murdering your children. They just basically give you a narrative to say, we know you've got family, you've got children, you've got a wife, you've got a job. In my job, I have my boss call me into his office, pull out a letter and say to me, I've got this letter. And in this letter, I've heard a whole pile of stuff being accusations being made about you. The letter was clearly sent to him so I would be sacked and I'd lose my job. I'd have no income. I had a mortgage. I had children to feed. What did my boss say? He tore it up, the letter, and put it in the bin. He said, Simon, you've worked here for 6 years. You're a decent guy. I don't believe a word of it. And I was lucky. Who would do these things? The people who are doing these things are intelligent, they're narcissistic, they're egotistical, they're rich, they're powerful, and they think that the public are absolutely stupid.
Well, this is a service that you can buy, isn't it? It's obviously a lot of money in this business. Anyway, look, Simon Killane, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.